Hello, everyone. This is Tim Pichot, and welcome to episode 2 of the Liberty Advisor podcast, Crypto Wealth Edition. Today, we're going to go over quite a bit of news and some of the topics we cover, and this is actually in the order that we cover them in, are we're going to have a quick update on the crypto sentiment index. Coinbase tries to trademark Buildle while also adding Zcash to their platform. The feds blacklist an Iranian wallet and try to monitor privacy coins. One U.S. congressman is attempting to pass a bill which would regulate the ICO market and prevent them from being classified as securities. NASDAQ confirms launch of Bitcoin futures in 2019. BitGo brings renowned trust lawyer out of retirement to help with their custody division. While we also have an institutional manager wagers $1 million that their crypto index will outperform the S&P 500 over 10 years, starting January 1st, 2019, while another Japanese firm speculates that Bitcoin will make an all-time high in 2019. I know John McAfee sure hopes so. And then we get into all things Bitcoin Cash, where there's a Bitcoin Cash lawsuit going on, and everything Bitcoin Cash versus Bitcoin SV. So you guys will definitely want to stay tuned for that. But also make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite platform, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify. I mean, basically, you name it. And yeah, I'm sure we'll be on more platforms soon. But now, let's get into it. And thank you for listening. So we are here today with Chris Karabatz, and Chris is, I probably should have asked exactly what he is, but to my knowledge, he's an ambassador for Smart Cash, all-around knowledgeable guy, both in the traditional markets and the crypto markets. And Chris is, you know, he's really just tied into all things going on in the crypto space, or most things going on. I mean, there's so much going on that no one, I think, can be tied into everything. And today we're going to do a show where we're going to go over the news, because a lot's going on. I'm sure, you know, at a later date, we'll probably do a show to get into all the happenings with Smart Cash. And really the past 2 months, I've been a little bit more preoccupied with the traditional markets because a lot has been going on in the traditional market space. And but there's also been a ton of developments going on in the crypto space. And right now, as we're recording, it is December 7th, 2018, an absolute bloodbath going on. So we're at CoinMarketCap right now. And what we can see is, and can you see the CoinMarketCap, Chris, on your side? I wasn't sure if I want to make sure I was sharing this correctly over here. Okay, because what it's looking like over here, we've got Bitcoin under $3,500. I don't even want to mention Ripple. Ethereum, $87. Stellar, 11 cents. Bitcoin Cash, under 107. Tether is actually a dollar, which has been sort of rare lately. Bitcoin SV, 104, which yesterday there was actually a brief flippening where SV overtook Bitcoin Cash, and that's something we can get into a little bit later on. And then we've got Litecoin sitting all the way down at $25, and rounding up the top 10 with Tron at 1.013 cents. So just all around, I mean, a sea of red. I mean, whether it's set down 7, 11, 10, I mean, Tether's up 0.5%, and Bitcoin SV is up 2.49. But other than that, just complete all-around bloodbath. And so there's a lot to be pessimistic about. So if we go over to the Fear and Greed Index, which I had it up from last night, so we'll see once I refresh it. Okay, so we went from a 13 to an 11, with zero being, you know, complete panic mode. And so right now we are in the extreme fear gauge. And to me, extreme fear means that's the time to start dollar cost averaging into this, to start buying more, to start reloading for anyone that has funds. You know, cause as when things are in the mania is when you want to, you know, start, you know, trimming your positions back a little bit. But going on with the sentiment right now, there is a lot of good things going on as well. I mean, you've got a lot of people who are building in this space, so much so that Coinbase actually wants to trademark the term Buildle. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but that's B-U-I-D-L. So it's a play off of HODL. And these are some articles that Chris had brought to me because, again, I was paying more attention to the stock market the past month. And Chris, what do you make of Coinbase trying to trademark the term Buildle? Or do you have any idea what like the origin of the word is? I know we've seen it a lot over the past few months, but did Coinbase come up with this, or are they just trying to profiteer off this?
Oh, they're just trying to grab onto it because, I mean, to be fair, they have been building. I hate saying these words out loud. But really, it's just a knockoff of HODL, because since everyone who HODLed this year got wrecked, the
It's
Buildle was
RDKT,
what
right?
people decided to switch to do. Yeah, so basically what Buildle means is, don't worry about the price, make a product, which is actually good. I mean, I've used it several times. I mean, that's what I've been doing with SmartCash this year, is Buildling. God, I hate saying it still. But Coinbase trademarking it is really just them trying to be, the corporate people. Coinbase is great, serve an excellent purpose in the space, but people love to hate them because they are very much tied in with the regulatory people and very much tied in with the traditional banks and business stuff that a lot of the crypto people love to hate. So this is just something that everybody's going to jump all over Coinbase for. I have no idea the reasoning for even trying this. It doesn't make any sense at all, unless one of their lawyers said, hey, you want to do this, you have to trademark it. So they stupidly tried to go forward with that. So
Yeah, and
it's
that's
just, it's not going to endear them with anyone.
yeah, and actually that's interesting that you bring up that. So does Buildle, does that mean more of like you're building your onto your adding on to your existing crypto positions, or does it mean that you're working in the space, building new applications, building new use cases? Because I wasn't really sure which they're really referring to, or if it doesn't matter.
They're referring to building applications. The common phrase is HODL and Buildle. So don't worry about the prices. Hold on to your crypto. Keep building.
Okay. All right. And
So
that's
make real products.
okay. And that does seem to make a lot of sense. And then, part of what they've been building has been adding onto their positions. And so we have an article here from CCN.com. That's not CNN. That's I'm not sure what it even stands for, but CCN.com. Sure, it's crypto something something news.com. So that's a privacy friendly cryptocurrency. Zcash goes live on Coinbase. So that's just one other, thing that they've been building. And then also, segueing into, from one privacy coin to another, Uncle Sam now wants to snoop on your Monero transactions. And this is something that, I mean, it did come out that the, what was it, that the NSA had all the way going back into, a very, very long time ago, like 2013, had actually been, tracking movements of crypto. And so now it looks like that, that their Zcash is one of the ones they're trying to track along with Monero. So, what do you make of this?
Well, Coinbase listing them, I mean, they released a list of coins several months ago, and so far they've been just walking through that list and listing all the coins they planned on. And Zcash rally has been around forever, and it's not surprising they're listing them. But as for the tracking bit, that's an interesting thing. I mean, honestly, I'm surprised they already don't have something in place to track this quite effectively, because with both Zcash and Monero, since they are not 100% private blockchains, you can actually derive with fairly strong confidence the private transactions from the public history. So that's a big problem Monero has, since when they started, they weren't default private. And same with Zcash, there's only a subset of them that are actually private transactions. So as
Yeah, I
far
heard
as
Zcash
actually
was only like
determining,
in like maybe it was Dash, but I think it was Zcash where it was only like 1 or 2% were actually using the privacy feature. So, if everyone else isn't private, then it's probably easy. I wouldn't say easy, but if you're the government with unlimited resources to, if they really wanted to get you, Ross Ulbricht style, that they could probably, use different types of, they'll find out how you slipped up somewhere to somehow trace that back to you. At least with
well,
ZK.
with all things financial with the government, typically it's you have to prove your innocence. So you're not going to hide from the IRS using privacy coins, because you still have to prove where all your money went. So there's really no point in that. And that kind of ties in with everybody kind of chuckling about Coinbase listing Zcash, because as I mentioned earlier, Coinbase is somewhat a corporate entity in the crypto sphere and completely trackable and transparent with the IRS and the government. So why would anybody want to buy a privacy coin on such a platform?
Yeah, no, that does make a lot of sense. Well, what you said makes a lot of sense. Buying it on Coinbase probably doesn't make a lot of sense, unless, I mean, it has the ease of use, And a lot of people, have, because the first foray, I mean, this show, there's no sponsors or really no plugs, but, to give a quick plug to what I was initially how I got into the space, I should have done like an intro episode. But the quick version is I realized that people who made a lot of money needed to find a way to be able to legally get their money back into the economy without getting, without being put in a cage. Or, it's one thing if you got a few thousand bucks of gains, but if you've got millions of dollars of gains, I mean, how do you think they caught Al Capone? I mean, they're going to wonder, hey, how'd you buy your Lambo? How'd you get your $1 million house? It's one thing if you're trying to get, a few pennies out, but if you're a guy like Charlie Lee and you want to diversify your Litecoin or get out of it, then you put your money into a charitable trust, you get big tax breaks, and then you take then the income you get from the trust then is offset by the tax breaks. And so this is really why one of the reasons I was trying to get into the space was to help people who, for one, I mean, what was it, Coinbase that had, anyone who had over 15,000 bucks in transactions, they were reported to the IRS. And so there's a lot of people who, maybe they thought they're being secret, which, if you're buying it on Coinbase or Kraken or any of the other major exchanges, you're obviously not being too secret. But I've been, there has been some pushback in terms of people saying, well, hey, you shouldn't pay any capital gains, or you're giving people advice on how to pay gains, and how dare you, or you're not libertarian. I'm like, I'm just, a lot of people bought it on the grid. The government already knows they have it. They've got way too much to hide it. I mean, okay, you got $15 million. How are you going to hide 15 million bucks? Or you hide it, but you hide it and you're not able to use it. And so now, at one point you had a problem that you didn't have enough money. And now you've got a problem that you've got too much money. And so I'm just trying to be there as a problem solver. So not to give too much of a plug, but that's the libertyadvisor.com where you guys can get a hold of me for more of that. But yeah, shameless plug. And for anyone's like, oh man, he's out there, he's just plugging. Like, yeah, I am. So you ended up figuring it out. But going on to, being on the grid, we've got a guy from Iran who was actually placed on a US sanctions list. He's saying that he's innocent, that apparently there was a SamSam ransomware virus that this guy sold some sort of coins to people that were somehow involved with that, but he was doing know your customer, and he's saying he's innocent, is trying to be all above board, but the US government is basically not having it. So the long arm of the US law even extends all the way to Iran. And I guess yesterday, not to go into the traditional markets too much, but the long arm of the U.S. law, we had the Canadians kidnap the CFO, the CEOs of, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Huawei or Huawei. It was a big, I think
Hallway
it's
is what I've always said, yeah.
Huawei. So like Santa, ho ho ho. We got the Huawei CEO's daughter, who is the CFO, was kidnapped by the Canadian, I'm not sure what agency did it over there in Canada, but she was kidnapped by their thugs at the behest of the US government, right as Trump was meeting with Xi, and that sent the market into turmoil yesterday. So I'm not really even sure what the market's doing right this second. I'm sure I can pull it up in 2 seconds. All right, down 200. We had a pretty amazing rally yesterday, but this is not the main Liberty Advisor podcast, so we'll move on from there. And
Well, it actually does tie into the Iranian story a bit because a lot of the rumors are going around that they are charging her with violating the sanctions to Iran for technology.
yeah, and I did see that, and it's so hypocritical when you've got, I mean, at one point it was illegal, I think, for any company in America to operate with the Iranians unless you're Halliburton. So you've got, while Dick Cheney, his former company Halliburton, which I think he had the shares put into a blind trust, so he supposedly wasn't benefiting, even though he was. Only one company in America was allowed to sell to the Iranians, and it was the guy who was basically, going around bombing everybody, killing everybody, creating mass war and destruction. Like, okay, it's okay for us to rebuild Iran or sell Iran their oil infrastructure, make billions of dollars, but no one else can. So only, the vice president and his company, yeah, you can do it, but nobody else can. So it's just the hypocrisy just knows absolutely no bounds. But now, apparently, Chinese can't sell to Iranians, and now we're, I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, meanwhile, we just spent, $500 million on a day off to celebrate George H.W. Bush, who was, shipping crack cocaine in, and just, we could go on for probably 2 hours just in all the stuff they're
Yeah,
doing.
this will definitely get way off the rails if we start ranting about this. I could go on for a long time.
No, we definitely could, and I'm sure most people in the crypto space, it's not necessarily news to them that that these are some bad people. Speaking of bad people, maybe we just got so many good segues going on here, but Congress are filled with bad people, but it seems like there's actually one congressman who's not a complete dick over here, and that would be Republican Congressman Warren Davidson, who is trying to create a bill which would basically legalize ICOs, and basically the bill would create an asset class for tokens, which would prevent them from being classified as securities, but would also allow the federal government to regulate initial coin offerings more effectively, Cleveland.com reported. So I'm guessing he's probably in the greater Ohio area, and a lot of times you gotta be careful with these bills because they might seem like it's doing something good, but then all of a sudden you invite in the camel underneath the tent, the next thing there's the government's controlling every aspect of it. And I honestly think that there's gonna be, and maybe this is probably better tied into Bitcoin SV when we get onto that, but I mean, it's to me apparent that the government and really the globalist entities that are out there, I am fearful that they're going to use this technology against the masses, where crypto could be
Oh,
the most freeing technology.
absolutely.
Yeah, it could be the most freeing technology.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yep, I'll let you go on with that.
Sorry, as I've said this ever since I first heard of Bitcoin, but Bitcoin in the hands of government, or really a blockchain currency in the hands of government, gives them everything they want. I mean, we see governments around the world trying to ban cash, trying to restrict how much cash can hand. We saw, India just last year, that disastrous, trying to pull out all their cash. And they want to pull back cash, nominally to, protect you from black markets, as if black markets actually hurt anybody. But the cryptocurrency actually gives them complete visibility and control over everybody's currency. I mean, it is a tool that they will try to use, 100% completely will try to use. So I consider it part of my job to get people invested in the free market side of things and wanting to use actual free market currency, not government currency that will actually just make everything worse. But like all technologies, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, the iPhone is great for all sorts of reasons for making my life easier, but it also is, essentially a listening device that I carry around with me that tracks my position.
It's a
I mean,
spy device
it's,
that you have to pay for.
everything is, and that's quite it's how it is with the government. Just like you said, with these regulations that are supposedly going to help, it could be, the nose of the camel in the tent, the rest of the camel's going to follow. And so I always have mixed feelings about that. Every once in a while, I'd love to see a politician actually do the right thing. I almost never do see it. A bit of a tie-in with the Ohio thing, the Cleveland thing, though. Ohio is the first state in the union to allow for at least some of their taxes to be paid in coin.
Yeah,
So
we
you don't have
almost
to
had
cash out to
that.
fiat.
We almost had that here in Arizona. It passed, I believe, all the state houses, and the governor, Doug Ducey, was being a little douchey and ended up vetoing that. So I mean, it did make it pretty far here. So not that any not in this environment. I don't know who's going to be given selling their crypto at these levels, because after this point, after you've gotten wrecked, I mean, now is probably not the time to be paying your taxes. But it could be a good move from the government standpoint, unless they're using, like, I imagine there's probably using like a BitPay, and immediately converting it
Yeah,
into
that's
fiat
exactly it.
would be my guess with that one. And no, but yeah, it's and one of the reasons I didn't get involved as early as, I mean, because I found out about Bitcoin when it was about $1 to $3, and really, and I was this is back when I was just getting into the rabbit hole of everything, of Creature from Jekyll Island, and learning about the Federal Reserve. I mean, really learning about the Federal Reserve, not like what they teach you in school. I mean, I was in the class that won the national competition on the Federal Reserve against Harvard and Yale, and then I had to go relearn all the shit that they didn't teach me about the real stuff that was going on with the Federal Reserve. And so I was going down that rabbit hole, and I was thinking, man, this is really, as you pointed out, giving them everything they need. And so this is, so I was, waiting on the sidelines and observing the price, and I was also listening to Peter Schiff. So I wasn't, I was, kind of negative. I wouldn't say I was negative. I mean, I was, I was, more gold and silver, and at that point, just trying to survive, because I was, 22, 23 years old when, I mean, I started my career this with, I think the exact, I think within 30 days of Bitcoin being around. So I mean, sort of my journey into this almost mirrors the exact same as Bitcoin.
Interesting.
And actually, the very I think the first download, I'm not sure if it was Node or the first piece of software you could download actually came out on my birthday too. So I'm like, oh man, I'm like following
Oh,
the
wow.
trans, and then here I am. I started my career the day Lehman went down. So I mean, it's almost like there's so many just different tie-ins to this. And now, so it's just funny that I've been drawn into this. And we've got another good congressman out here who, not actually, he's not a congressman. He's in the state house of Arizona, and he's trying to get all sorts of bills passed to make this a crypto-friendly state. Because there's definitely a few states that are competing to be the most crypto-friendly, which, in that case, competition is a good thing. And it looks like we had the next article went down, so we are now relaunching this. But NASDAQ confirms the launch of Bitcoin futures for 2019, and they claim that they're going to be doing this no matter what. And here we are with the great technology that is not uploading this page. So, that is news that, everyone's always looking for, what piece of news is going to make things go up? What piece of news is going to, make this, whole market just explode? And for me, I'd rather people, not to go back to, the buildle, but to, the actual real life use cases. And I think, if you build a real life use case where it can actually, be used in everyday, whether it's commerce or whether it's in, data protection, or whether, the stock market goes on a blockchain someday, there's real life applications. And I'm sure that's, probably a perfect segue into what you guys are doing at Smart Cash, where there's actual real life use
Yeah,
applications.
absolutely. Yeah, that's, we like to say we're trying to put the currency back in cryptocurrency. We want this to be usable as a medium of exchange. And we feel that until that happens, the rest of this is just window dressing because most of the other uses could just as easily be on a private blockchain or even a centralized database as much as a public ledger,
Yeah,
where the actual money usage goes back to the heart of it.
so for me, it wasn't necessarily about the price, and actually, I mean, around the price, I bought Ethereum. I mean, we're at this rate, we're almost back there. I mean, I think I got in like around like 70, and now it's $86. So,
Oh,
but for me,
rough.
when I saw it go from like 70 to literally the very next month like $300, I was thinking like, shit, like I should have bought a lot more. Or it completely took off on me, and I had tried buying it like a couple of weeks earlier, but then I had the kids bouncing around in the lap, and my wife's yelling at me to go help out with the two little girls, which I'm sure you can perfectly relate to as well, having and you and I, our stories are very similar too, that basically in February I had to resign to give a talk at an Acapulco, and in February, right as we're in the midst of this decline, you do have a very interesting story, where you had to effectively, quit what you were doing to not you had to, but you decided that you'd go, represent Smart Cash right at the time when everything started going down, and then your wife let you know that she was pregnant right at that point, and then with me, with two little girls, and then the state of Arizona not approved my paperwork for 6 months, definitely paying dues in this space. I think that's that is for sure. And
Yep, I just figure it'll be a great story a few years from now.
yeah, smooth seas doesn't make for good sailors. So, this is and what is unfortunate is that now, so many people, when I remember I mean, when Bitcoin the first time it was at 4,000, and people were like, oh, I want to wait till it goes down, and then it goes up to, five and six and seven. Yeah, we all know how to count, and then it goes up to 20. And then it goes back down to four, where, and then people are like, oh yeah, I want nothing to do with it. And I remember telling people when it was at, when it was at 15,000, like, oh man, I wish I bought it back at 10. I wish I got it back at seven. I'm like, no, you don't, because, if it does go back down to that, you're gonna be scared, shitless, and then you're not gonna have the balls to go back in there. And that's exactly what you're seeing. And so, to me, this wasn't, a get rich quick scheme, but that's what it became to almost everybody that was entering that space. I mean, before I jumped in to actually purchasing myself, I mean, I could have probably written a book on it. I mean, that I just wanted to make sure, it was the other issue we had talked about before of saying, hey, this could actually be hijacked by the globalist. I wouldn't be surprised if that's actually what they're trying to do right now. And I was trying to think of who said this. It was on a podcast I was listening to, and it was actually Bob Stanley, who Afrios.io, and what who he has the red pill, where you can put in Basically, it's a way to kind of get completely off the grid and this whole privacy function. And I'll have him on the podcast too someday. He's a really interesting guy. But with Bob, he was talking about, hey, you know, the reason they haven't really killed anybody yet in this space is because, that we know of, is because, you know, they need, not necessarily us, I'm not a programmer, but they need the community to start building these applications for them. They need to have the community figure out the scaling problem. And then once they, you know, figure out the scaling problem once and for all, it's like, you know, thank you. We're going to then hijack it and make it the, you know, Federal Reserve, Goldman Sachs.gov coin. And part of me thinks that that could be going on with Bitcoin SV when you look at some of the characters behind that. I mean, that's getting into conspiracies that I don't really have, you know, any proof on. It's just initial gut feelings. But continuing on with institutional flows, we just talked about NASDAQ. Now we've got BitGo brings a banker out of retirement to lead their institutional crypto custody. And so you've got Richard Corcoran, longtime veteran of the trust company, trust industry, who is now going to head the crypto startup's institutional custody business. And for a business like mine, this actually is, you know, somewhat important. Although, you know, I kind of wish they'd get the fees down a little bit. I mean, it's something like, you know, like $5,000-$6,000 a month to start up, and then they wanted to have, you know, every single like if every single one of my clients had their own let's say LLC, that each one of them would have to pay like $5,000 a month, and they wouldn't aggregate it all underneath me. And I'm like, well, believe me, that's definitely not going to happen. So yeah, so it's good to see that, you know, in this case, I mean, they're going to be going after, you know, the real big boys, you know, the big time family offices and hedge funds and pension funds, where, you know, if you're managing, you know, 20 million, maybe $5,000 a month fee isn't too bad. However, you know, it's not, you know, rocket science, you know, to figure this, you know, stuff out and get some ledgers or get some Trezors or whatnot. But it just goes to show that the, you know, some of the, you know, old time people are now getting into this market, which brings us on to the next article, where it shows Morgan Creek Digital is betting $1 million that crypto can beat the S&P. And I'm not really sure who they're betting or if anybody's actually taken up their bet yet, but they've got a few different cryptos, and I'm trying to find where the list is, but obviously it's Bitcoin, Ethereum, I think Zcash, and
That's down just a little bit there.
NEM. All right. Yeah, and a few others. And what they're going to do is they're trying to say, hey, we bet that the bet will begin January 1st, 2019. So I mean, this is starting to look real good for them. If, you know, if everything is goes down at the rate things are going down, there's not going to be anything. You know, it's going to have to beat the S&P.
If I was going to bet on crypto, that would be when I would start too, based on previous bear markets.
And actually, at the rate the S&P, at the rate the S&P is going, who knows? Because that's also going in the shitter too. So, you know, who knows? But yeah, the coins are Bitcoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, EOS, Litecoin, Monero, Zcash, Dash, IOTA, and NEM. Don't know what the weightings are. And I think this is more or less, this is a you know, publicity type stunt, because there's, I don't think anyone's actually taken them up, or they haven't, you know, it wasn't like the Warren Buffett bet when there was a hedge fund that they bet $1 million and then actually lost that bet. So I don't know, do you know any details on this or anything you'd like to add?
The reality is there's going to be more than $1 million in their fund. So $1 million, it's not a lot of money to any of these people. So they're just staying at, you know, being just slightly classier than good old McAfee.
Yeah, and if you think about it from like a marketing aspect, I mean, you know, they've got a good chance of winning their money back. I mean, they could always, you know, buy some sort of, you know, call option, I guess, on the S&P to, you know, try to hedge that risk a little bit. But also, you know, it's, I mean, the amount of I guess free advertising they're getting from this is probably worth, you know, over $1 million. I mean, certainly not from this
Easy.
show bringing it to them, but with, you know, all the different crypto shows, you know, put together, and people in the financial media talking about this, I'm sure that, you know, they'll get over $1 million of probably advertising from this. And probably in my bet, I would make that bet also, that that would win out as well, that crypto index. But who knows? This is
I
not
mean, I'm not a
financial.
huge fan of everybody on that index, but I still imagine in 10 years it's not going to be good for the S&P and the yeah, it's just going to be a very interesting 10 years, I think.
There could be some scenarios where the S&P goes through the moon, because all, but those scenarios also would be good for crypto as well. So I mean, there's, you know,
Yeah.
I th you know, there's a good chance that, who knows, maybe the Dow could be at, you know, 200,000 in 10 years, but it's because we had to print all this money, and you've got all this demographic bomb about to explode at the same time of having, you know, in 2008, the average baby boomer was just turning 62 years old. Now it's 10 years later, so now they're 72. They're being forced to pull from their retirement accounts once you're over 70 and a half, and also they have to live. And so in 2008, you know, at 62 years old, they didn't have to pull funds. Now they're retired, or a lot of them are being retired, and so they don't have the benefit of like, hey, we can just wait another 10 years to do this. So it's you know, you know, if so I got sidetracked with, you know, having pop-ups on my screen that I need to figure out, how to get these damn pop-ups off here. I got a new computer, and it's not a pop-up. It's like a notification that I've got an email, and it's really annoying right now. But anyways, this is another article that you had brought us, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Kineen CEO. Do you have any
Quinoa? We'll call it Quinoa CEO.
That's exactly what I thought. I think they're doing something over there in Japan, and they think that by the end of 2019 that the Bitcoin price will reach its all-time high. So John McAfee sure hopes so.
Money on that, but at the same time, basically like the last three stories has told us is that a lot of big money is moving into this space, and they're not moving into this space because it's going to die in a year.
Yeah. You know, not that I'm big money moving into the space, but I mean, I have a financial advisor that says, hey, you know, I see where this is going. You know, I would not be doing this if I did not think that this was going to be a market. But however, I mean, most of these altcoins, you know, they were just built on nothing. And like, hey, we've got a fancy white paper, put some money into some marketing, and then we raised a whole bunch of money, and then the founders walked off with a whole bunch of money. And, or maybe now it's not a whole bunch of money because it was in Ethereum. And I'm sure they're probably still doing okay, but it wasn't, you know, it just seemed like it was fake last year, and now it's going to be, you know, the real, you know, push come to shove as things are going on. And part of what's going on is we've got Roger Ver and Jihan Wu, who are being accused of hijacking Bitcoin Cash. So I mean, first they're accused of hijacking Bitcoin, now they're accused of hijacking Bitcoin Cash. And there's a lawsuit, and I didn't read this, so I'm guessing that it says something to do with probably the fact that, I don't know. Are you familiar with this story, Chris?
I've actually done too many videos on this story with Naomi Brockwell and talked a bit too much about Bitcoin Cash. But basically, this started on the 15th of November. And there's been a hash war, and that's really kind of when all this dropping started. And it's pretty much dropped like a rock since then. And most people think that's because both sides, the Roger Ver, Jihan Wu, which are the Bitcoin Unlimited and Bitcoin ABC, and then Craig Wright, which is the Enchain, head of Enchain, or the Bitcoin SV side, they are selling Bitcoin to fund their mining operations to fight that hash war. Now, the hash war is theoretically over, and SV has more or less conceded all the points they said they wouldn't to start with, but they've decided that since they couldn't win with proof of work, they are going to win with proof of judicial ruling or something. So my favorite part of this lawsuit that Vin Armani tweeted about the other day, that I should have sent you a link to, but just found it, was so here's the big kicker in the SV lawsuit. They want a judge to order that Bitcoin ABC roll back the BCH blockchain to November 15th. And they want a US judge to decide what the consensus rules should be. That is what they're asking for. I mean, this is the opposite of what cryptocurrency should be about. Cryptocurrency is about consensus and about people working together willingly, not having a judge force rules down our throats. So I do not see how this will end well at all, but Craig Wright has Calvin Iyer behind him with a lot of money, and they are going to keep fighting this.
Yeah, and I'm pulling up Calvin Iyer's Twitter feed right now, because I mean, just a few days ago I saw something where he tweeted out about, hey, we're the government complainer. Here we go, right? Actually, no, this was the Homeland Security wants to look at activities on private blockchains, and it says Bitcoin SV is a government-friendly, and so is the community that supports original Bitcoin. And this, you know, would probably just make me want to vomit. And so it's just absolutely crazy. And when you go to and look up his Wikipedia, it's like, okay, well, let's look up, if you don't know a whole bunch about what's going on, it's like, okay, well, who's behind this? Okay, Calvin Ayer is behind it. Okay, yeah, he was charged with money laundering. And okay, yeah, he's running gambling websites, and now he doesn't want the coin that can help, do gambling. And even though he runs, I mean, there's probably some sort of conflict of interest there where, he wants things to be going through his, Bodog exchange, or maybe he got in trouble, real big trouble for money laundering, and the Fed said, hey, we're going to give you a little slap on the wrist here, but what we need you to do is to, help us bring down Bitcoin, or have a co-opted version that the government can use to do our money laundering through. Or, I mean, I don't, this is all just conjecture and speculation on my point, but when you've seen as much as I guess we've seen over, going back to history, I mean, if you take even back hundreds of years, that they're gonna, whatever, the worst case scenario possible is it is in the realm of possibility. And I wouldn't be, and it just seems so odd that it's almost like, why wouldn't they just stay on with the Bitcoin core people if this is the way that they wanted to do from all along? So, I mean, if you get married with, let's say, Roger Ver, for instance, and you know where Roger Ver comes from philosophically, why are you going to partner up with him and then be shocked that he doesn't want to have the government compliant crypto when he's, renounced his US citizenship? And they're like, well, you can't vote anymore. And he's like, well, I never voted anyway. So that's good. He's like, and I heard the whole episode where he had to give like an exit interview just in order to leave United States. But it's just very, very odd that somebody that would, kind of somewhat marry themselves to Roger Ver to then now claim that they're the government-friendly crypto. It's just, the whole thing just reeks to me of the high heaven of something.
It's really bizarre, but for a quick, 30-second overview of the history here is, Roger Ver and Craig Wright left Bitcoin because Bitcoin Core was going for more off-scaling. They're artificially limiting the block size. They want to do Lightning Network and stuff, which was off-chain and side-chain stuff. And then over, and that was a year ago. I mean, in November of 2017, that was the first major Bitcoin fork that everybody heard about, though there have been others and were others before that. And everybody demonized Ver for that, and whatever you think of him, that's fine. But then since then, Bitcoin Cash, or should I say the ABC developer group in Bitcoin Cash, has been pushing for a lot of other stuff. Like they have Wormhole, which is going to allow token launching on Bitcoin Cash, and I think that is really one of the big areas where Craig Wright and Calvin Ayer that you're looking at, what a guy, differentiates from Roger Ver is really, if your audience has heard of the term Bitcoin maximalist, they think that there is one cryptocurrency and that cryptocurrency is Bitcoin. And, but basically, Craig Wright is an individual who thinks Bitcoin Core left real Bitcoin, but he is still a Bitcoin maximalist. Where Roger Ver, he's essentially an altcoiner now.
No, yeah,
But
and I, yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And I've seen some, heated debates between, Roger and Tone Vaes, and it's funny because it seemed like at the time, obviously Roger probably had, 1,000 times more skin in the game, and it almost seems like from a, hey, if you're really trying to sell out, if you're really trying to make a bunch of money, the best way to do it would have been to just keep being the poster boy of, the Bitcoin, I don't say Bitcoin name, but just being the poster boy of, whatever the community considers Bitcoin, which is now Bitcoin Core, if you will, BTC. And so I think he, did a, really he took a big gamble, and for philosophical reasons. And I don't think he was doing it to get rich, or I want to be, the Jesus of this other coin and be, a god. Whereas, it almost seems like Craig Wright and Calvin Ayer that they want to be like the gods of their own chain. And so we're on Roger Ver's Twitter feed now, and he's got, the very top thing up there is a free, it's a green camel. So speaking of camel's tense, we've got a green camel with and actually he's got a hashtag Freedom's Phoenix, so that's pretty cool. With a Free Ross hat with a BCH gang. So yeah, so I mean obviously, someone, one person talking about Free Ross, the other chain is talking about how, Ross should probably be in jail for the rest of his life. Now I don't know what their actual thoughts on Calvin Ayer's thoughts on on Ross, but I'm guessing they're probably not big fans of Ross because they had said stuff like, you know, ABC is going to allow them to, you know, have Silk Roads and all this other stuff. And Roger's like, yeah, we are. And that was, I know that was another big point of contention.
Yeah, and that's, Craig Wright has talked about Free Ross a couple times, and he's certainly, he's in jail, it's where he belongs. You know, it's such a bizarre way to go about things. I just don't understand what the motivation is except to gain personal power. And, you know, the thing that your audience may not be aware of is Craig Wright has claimed to be Satoshi and has other old school Bitcoin people supporting him as Satoshi. And whether or not he was actually Satoshi, you know, it kind of can upset people, which is why they like to deny it. They, oh, Satoshi would never act this way, but we don't know. And, you know, 10 years is a long time, and who knows what Greg has been through in the last 10 years that may have changed him a little bit. And even Satoshi early on was never full-on anarchist libertarian, so he was just trying to build sound money, which didn't necessarily mean he was anti-government. And, you know, it is entirely possible Craig is Satoshi. I don't know. I don't know one way or the other. I'm not going to make any strong stands one way or another because I am completely unknowledgeable of those early days and those early interactions. But I don't really care because how he's acting now is abysmal.
Yeah, and we're going through Craig Wright's Twitter right now. I guess we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, and and it seems like if this is Satoshi, then I would definitely think less of Satoshi. It almost seems like he's trying to make it out, be like, hey, there, you know, it's this entity and he was one of the members of that entity and he could, you know, any day now, you know, in a couple of years, he's going to give that, you know, the definitive proof. But meanwhile, you know, and then he gives like, you know, this other tangential proof that isn't really proof, you know, constantly. And, or I'm not sure if constantly, but you know, it's, there's nothing that's, you know, a smoking gun that I've seen so far that says this guy is the Satoshi. And just based on how he's acting, I don't think he would be the Satoshi. And, but who knows, maybe I'm wrong, but either way, it all depends on what the community actually wants, what they need, what they're willing to use. And I don't know who's willing to use, you know, Bitcoin SV, which, maybe we'll kind of end this on the actual, you know, the price of it right now, because we almost saw a flipping going on yesterday. And even right now, we've got Bitcoin Cash sitting at 106.92, Bitcoin SV.
Refresh.
We got a refresh here.
Yeah.
And wow, yeah. And now, and since since we've actually been recording this, the flipping actually occurred on us again. So now we've got Bitcoin SV at 105.42, Bitcoin Cash at 104.51. And because of the difference in circulating supply and blocks, I mean, almost identical market caps. I mean, this is super, super close right now. That it doesn't really matter in the short run right here, you know, what's going on today or what's going on, you know, 5 weeks from now. It depends on who wants to use it. And if you're a billionaire and you've got and you're willing to, you know, punch yourself in the face, you know, several times to or at least, you know, empty out your wallet and burn a whole bunch of Bitcoin in the process to, you know, have a, you know, what measuring contest over here, then. And yeah, it is possible for SV to pull ahead, but whether or not the community is actually going to want them, I mean, I personally don't know a single person out there that is pro Bitcoin SV. And obviously, like when there was Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash, I know a lot of people on both sides of the debate. I don't know anybody on the SV side of that debate. So it's very, I'm just wondering where that demand's coming from. Is it coming from governments? Is it coming from, you know, Deutsche Bank, because they're already into money laundering type people? Or, you know, where is the demand for Bitcoin SV coming from? It's got to be, in my opinion, coming from, you know, Calvin Ayer and Craig Wright, you know, burning, you know, selling off all the Bitcoin Cash, selling Bitcoin to drive everything down and then pumping in their funds back into SV. You know, because I don't know. I mean, most people probably haven't even taken the actual initiative to sell their SV, and so you've got no one who's actually, I don't know who's buying or selling SV right now. And so it's just, to me, it is, you know, it's not something I would, believe me, this whole thing is not financial advice right now. I'm not your financial advisor unless I am your financial advisor, and I actually am your financial advisor. But for everyone else on here, more than likely, I'm not. And it is not financial advice to buy a Bitcoin SV, in my opinion. But who knows? I might be wrong, and who knows? Maybe it might be, the new number one coin. But I've been wrong before, so we'll see. What do you think? What's going on here?
This would have been a little bit more interesting to see yesterday leading up to it when every other coin was down 20% or 10% and Bitcoin SV was up 25, 30%. It was a much more shocking dynamic. But there are people in the space who are supporting Bitcoin SV. Like Ryan X. Charles is the one that comes to mind. He's the CEO of Money Button, and he was backing them the night that the fork happened. And yep, right there. Ryan X.
Oh, X. Okay, I thought you said S.
X.
Here we
Yep,
go.
right, the top one right there. Yep. And he's all in with Bitcoin SV. And he said very, he could be wrong and it could be the losing chain, but he is supporting over the ABC people, and I don't necessarily understand why. And there really is a split in the community. And not just from the people who are full on, well, Craig writes Satoshi, so we have to follow him. And I don't agree with any of their reasoning. I've heard them explain several times what they're going for, and I don't agree with them. But I also don't agree that there's going to be one coin to rule them all, and we'll eventually see the 1,000 years of Bitcoin reign once Satoshi's vision comes into fruition. I think that we are in a free market of currency and that there will always be multiple coins and there will have to be advancement in this space, technologically speaking. So that is the biggest reason why I'm not with SV is because, I understand what they're doing. I understand at least Craig's motivation, but I don't agree with their reasoning at all.
Yeah, no, and I think that was a good summary of what's going on, and maybe I just want to leave this on. There was one more kind of like technical aspect of what was going on during the fork where didn't like Bitcoin Cash, I guess what would be the ABC chain, put in some sort of what was it called, like a roadblock, but then SV did some other shenanigans as well, where they, and I don't know if you can kind of elaborate more onto that because I'm not, basically, with Bitcoin Cash, it seemed like I understand that one a little bit more in terms of like, hey, we're putting in this, checkpoint. So then that way, effectively, it was, I don't want to say like checkmating SV for what they were trying to do. But then SV did some other stuff that was also highly controversial. I don't know. Is that something that you can speak on?
A little bit. Basically, so Bitcoin Cash has a 6 month hard fork schedule. What a hard fork is essentially when the consensus changes. So blocks moving forward are not compatible with the blocks in the past used. New blocks don't work with the old blocks. So every time they do that, they put in a checkpoint in the code. And what a checkpoint does is it stops a reorganization of the chain past that point. That's important because of 51% attacks where somebody with sufficient hash power could be mining in the background faster than the main chain is being mined, and then publish their much longer chain that supposedly has more work, and then wipe out all those transactions that just happened. And that is what Bitcoin SV was threatening to do to ABC. They were going to reorg them into Doom so nobody could ever send any transactions on the ABC chain.
Is
That
that what they
obviously
refer
didn't
to
happen.
as
Now
shadow
we're
mining? Is that what they refer to as shadow mining?
shadow mining.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. And the what is going on since then, though, again, every hard fork they put in this checkpoint, and everybody's complaining about it when it showed up, but it's like, this is normal. It was there. This is not surprising to anybody who watched the code, which the SV people should have been doing because they're supposedly making their own chain. But what has been that has been somewhat contentious since then is they've been putting in more checkpoints further up the chain past that to protect themselves from a long reorg. So that is somewhat contentious. That's not anything that's ever really been done before, and that is something that ABC is pushing forward by themselves. And that is contentious in the space to be putting in checkpoints like that. Though I do understand why they're doing them, and for people who are using the network, they shouldn't have to worry that that money they've got 10 blocks ago might just magically go away because somebody's attacking the network. And that is really what the danger is of this attack. And that's why SV gave up on the mining attack and why they went with this lawsuit demanding that a judge order them to essentially reorg the chain back to November 15th.
Oh man, that's just, I mean, it's just really fresh that they want to, you know, have a judge, and then, you know, Craig Wright wants to come in with his, hey, I've got, you know, 1 point whatever patents per white paper, and I'm spitting out a white paper every other week with all these patents, and we're going to patent our way to victory. And call me skeptical, but I'm for some reason, I'm thinking that's not what Satoshi would have wanted. And I think that we're coming up now on 50 minutes and probably a good, I guess, a checkpoint to save it for another day. But we have gone over a lot of great information, and thank you to Chris for sending over all these articles with, I mean, it's just amazing what's all going. I mean, and almost everything that you've sent me is very recent from the past week. And I mean, that's not even, and that's part of the reason why. And I'd like to get some feedback from people on there in terms of, I think what I'll be calling this is, it's the Liberty Advisor podcast, but this will be a crypto wealth edition. So this will be the second official crypto wealth edition. And then I'll probably have some of all the bonus episodes of crypto stuff I've filmed in the past all into one place. Because some people are like, hey, you know, I love hearing about the crypto information. And other people are like, hey, I love hearing about the stock market politics information. And so it's all going to be underneath the Liberty Advisor podcast. And if you guys can, you know, subscribe to us, rate us, you know, we're on a bunch of different platforms. I mean, anywhere you want to listen, we're probably on. We're eventually going to have everything over on YouTube as well. Right now, I used to be branded as Libertarian Advisor, and then in true libertarian fashion, got pissed off with them. And the movement is about liberty, not about parties. And so that's why I made the branding change over here. But no, we just want to get some feedback and you know, topics and people you guys would like to have us cover. And we'd like to thank our guest, Chris Karabatz. And where can people find you? I know you're on Twitter and Zaphoid or
Zaphoid. Yes, it's Zaphoid on Telegram and Twitter. I'm also with Smart Cash, so you check us out at smartcash.cc. Yep, that's my Twitter there. I just actually a couple days ago launched a Smart Cash dedicated podcast. So you can search for Smart Cash Smart Talk and hear me there. I just got on iTunes last night, so yay.
Oh, wow.
And I'm also on. Interesting. I don't know who those guys are. I need to do some SEO, apparently. And you can also find me on Naomi Brockwell's weekly news recap, which I'll actually be doing in a few hours here, where we'll probably cover some of the similar topics, but less from a financial side and more from a crypto or technical side. And yeah, she posted on the Flippening last night. You can see my face there talking about ABC checkpoints on November 23rd. If you do want to learn more about the ABC SV Bitcoin Cash split, you can hear me chat with Naomi and Chris Passia several times over the last month on this topic. Search for Naomi Brockwell and ABC or Naomi Brockwell SV, and you'll hear us talk about it a bit there. And we get a little bit more technical. Chris Passia is really good on the technical side. I'm only lightly into that side, despite what people accuse me of.
Yep.
And if you want to talk with me, go to discord.smartcash.cc and look up Zaphoid and maybe learn more about Smart Cash while you're there.
Oh, excellent. And we definitely loved having you on today. Provide a lot of good context and insight into this space, which is why, Naomi Brockwell has you on. And you also, introduced me to Chris Passia as well. And not introduced, physical introduction, but said, hey, you know, this is a good guy to follow in terms of, you know, what's going on with all the Bitcoin Cash happening. And so lots going on in the space. I'm sure we'll have a lot to, you know, recap at the next update. But for now, we're signing off, and thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys later. Take care.